Okay, who wants to be a disciple still? Anybody still want to be a disciple? Okay, I told you. You know, being a disciple is going to cost you some stuff. How many's willing to pay the price? It costs you to be a disciple, right? It costs you. But I told you over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I said, but you get some rewards when you get to be a disciple. What are they? You get to have God as your
Father.
You get Jesus Christ as? He's more than just, you know, the Son of God. He's what? He is your what? He's what? He's your advocate. Yes, anybody forget? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Right? And I said you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. And now we're going to move into the part of discipleship that's going to take some work. There are some disciplines of being a disciple. Go figure, right? Disciple, discipline. That goes hand in hand, right, principle? Disciple, discipline. Discipline. So in order to be a disciple, you got to have some discipline. How many lack discipline in some areas? How many ever went on a diet? How many of you, when you went on a diet, you could not pass a chip and dip bowl? There's no way. I cannot pass a chip and dip bowl. I know that Satan doesn't have a lot of power in this world as far as making me do stuff. But how many know he can tempt you? How many know that when you're on a diet, a Suzy Q is bad? When you walk past the Suzy Q's, how many know, oh, I want a Suzy Q? You know Big Macs now? You buy one, you get one for 25 cents. I can't believe it. 25 cents. Oh, it's hard. Discipline's hard. How many have a hard time with discipline? Discipline is hard work. Well, guess what? It's hard work to be a disciple, too. Brothers and sisters, it is really, really easy to explain to somebody what it means to be a Christian. I can explain that to you in probably a couple sentences. Now, try to be one. There is a big difference between people who go to church and people who have church. There's a big difference, right? Is there a big difference in going to church and having church? See, going to church, you go to church how many days a week?
One.
And how many hours of that day do you go to church? Well, here maybe. It depends. It depends on my view, my attitude. But I mean, you go to church, right? And how many days a week do you have church? How many hours a day? 24/7. There's a big difference between going and having. Who has church? I have church. Now listen to me. When you go to church and you leave the church, most people leave the church where?
At the building.
Back where they left. Fair statement? Back where they left. But disciples who want to have a relationship with God, we're not leaving the church because I am the church. I'm not leaving the church. The church is leaving the building. And the church is going where? Out into the world. Is that not our job? That's our job. Leave the building and take the church. So being a disciple takes some work. It takes some work. Anybody want to work? I want to work. Now some people will say to me, Pastor Tom, and some of my friends in here will tell me, Pastor Tom, you need to slow down. And I want to say, why, you think I'm getting old or something? You better slow down, Pastor Tom. You better take it easy. And I've been kind of, it's true. Amy, it's true. Pastor Tom, you know, you're not as young as you used to be. Like, I need you to tell me that? How many know what it's like to bend down and tie your grandkids' shoes? You can't get back up. So who can do it? Let me see. Everybody who understands that, stand up. If you understand what I just said, now look what company I'm in right here. Look what comes. You see, Becca didn't stand up. Even Yoshiko didn't stand up. I understand that. How many of you know what it's like to put your car in Walmart and can't find it? Okay, stand up, stand up. If you know what that's like, stand up. No, look at my company right here. Yeah, not you. You? Oh, no. Sit down. How many of you know what it's like to go into Walmart and buy the 50 and over vitamins? It's us. But it's okay. But you know what? I tell you the truth. I know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, I do not want, please, I hope I'm not to offend anybody, but if I do, you'll get over it. I don't want to be sitting there watching a Penguin game when he comes back. I want to be praying for somebody, preaching to somebody, healing somebody, singing to somebody, or visiting somebody. That's what I want to be doing. I want to be working when he comes. That's what I want to be doing. Well, Pastor Tom, you better slow down. I got an answer for all of you that's been telling me that. No, you better speed up. No. I don't need to slow down. You need to what? Speed up. Because if you speed up, you'll catch up. How many know that's true? One of the great disciplines of being a disciple, prayer. Number one discipline for a disciple is prayer. Second one, scripture. Third one, worship. Fourth one, fellowship. Fifth one, working, servanthood. That's the five disciplines of a disciple. Right? Prayer, scripture, worship, fellowship with the brethren, and works or servanthood. Today we're going to study prayer. Prayer. Let me tell you something. At the end of a hockey game, like down at Consol Energy Center, there's a bunch of people hanging around down there. And guess what they're hanging around for? Anybody know why they're hanging around? They're hanging around a special door. Why are they hanging around, Pastor Ed? They want to see the players. And they might got like a card or a program or a hat or a shirt. And what do they want to do with it? Why? What's that going to get you? No, really, what's that going to get you? You know, at the end of football games, guess what everybody's doing? Hanging out by the door. Why? Ooh, there's Troy Polamalu. And I don't know why people are so enthused about him. You got me. I know I'm getting old, but hey. If my hair's a little longer, I was built a little bigger, I looked like him, I'd be Troy Polamalu. Did you get that? He said, we want to get our shirt signed by Troy Polamalu. Why? Why? Baseball games. You know, there are some days on the baseball games that you get to go down early, and guess what all the players are going to do? Get your picture, right? And people will be flocked down there. Don't you get it? You can come in the church and meet God. You can meet God. Oh, yeah. Well, Jim, the point is, are you kidding me? And that's the problem. You see, we are so involved and so enthused with worldly things. So how's the worldly things making out for you? Really? I mean, how's all that worldly stuff doing for you? Amy? I understood that. I'm a guy. She went, worldly things ain't going to cut it. How many's ever had some worldly things and lost it? There you go. Yesterday we had a free market. We had a lot of worldly things people gave to you. Right? And people came in to get those worldly things. I heard there's like 40 people waiting outside the door even to open the door, right? Wouldn't it be great if those same 40 people were standing outside that door? Wouldn't that be something? If the same people that was going in to get, now I'm not down there, it's great. But wouldn't it be great if those same 40 people was lined out that door waiting to get in? Because they'll get something that money can't buy. Prayer. We have the opportunity in Christianity to talk to God anytime of any day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can get on our knees and talk to who? Call President Obama, see if you can talk to him. Call your senator, see if you get a chance to talk to him. Call some very important person and say, hey, can you hook me up? You know? Well, that's profound. Call a what? Call a doctor. Or go visit one. You know, I hate to tell you this, but I will because that's the kind of guy I am. I have friends, and I know that Sue and Lori have them too. I have friends that are doctors. I talk to them. Especially one I have lunch with pretty often. And he was telling me something that I never knew this. I never knew this. Maybe you guys know this, or maybe you'll know now. I didn't know that when a doctor is seeing a patient and that patient has a health insurance plan, he is regulated how many minutes he spends with you. Did you know that? I didn't know that. When you go see a doctor and you go in to see him, you know what? He's got to see you in X amount of minutes. And you guess how many minutes that is? 15. That's it. If he spends more than 15 minutes, he's losing money on you. You ever have a doctor go in and say, hey, what's going on? Take this seat later. There's a reason. I didn't know that. But God will spend all day with you. And every doctor and every hospital in the University of Pittsburgh Medical System is a practicing physician. And they have a what? A practice. I don't want a practicing one. I want an expert. I don't want somebody working out on me and see if it works. I want somebody just to give me something and say, this is going to do fine. And we have the opportunity to go to him. Turn in your Bibles, please. To 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, how we do it here in our little church is we have you turn to it, but when we also have Mickey read it to you. So you get a chance to turn to it and read it and listen to it. And we're thinking that if you read it, look at it, hear it, it might, what? Sink in. Now, here's a reason for that, brothers and sisters. Satan, who believes in Satan? Anybody believe in Satan? Satan doesn't really care if you get in that word. Because a lot of people get in the word. What he really cares about is what? The word getting in you. That's a big deal. We can get in the word, right, Paul? But when the word gets in you, whoo, hey, you know what? You become one of them Bible-toting, Jesus card-carrying, blood-bought, sanctified, cross-bearing, Jesus freak. Did you get on that?
I got it.
Okay. Satan is not pleased about that. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Woo. So the first reason why prayer is important in the life of a Christian is for forgiveness. Forgiveness. Anybody need forgiving? Anybody need forgiving at least daily? Some of us in this room, including me, need to be forgiven by the minute. Who needs forgiven by the minute sometime? Oh my gosh, really? I'm with a bunch of sinners. By the minute sometimes, right? In any set of circumstances, oh Lord. How many ever pray this way? Lord, keep my mouth shut. Keep my mouth, what, Sue? Shut. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, it is, read again, Mickey.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes. And so we get to pray to God for forgiveness. Now, listen, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. As an end-of-life chaplain sometimes, I go see people that are dying. It's okay to talk about that here, right? How many know people do die? We die. And as a hospice chaplain, as an end-of-life chaplain, I go see people who are dying. And one of the most important things that's on their mind at the point of death is what? Can I be forgiven? Of all those things that I have ever done in my life, can I be forgiven? Now listen to me, church. If I go see a person that is not a Christian or does not have a relationship with God, how many things do you think is on their mind for which to be forgiven for? Well, I know you're kind of saying, well, I'm not a math whiz, Pastor Tom. That's a trick question. But here's the answer. A lifetime worth. And I'm telling you, a lifetime's worth. Imagine that you are laying, facing your own mortality, and your mind is racing back of all of the things that you have ever done in your life. How many of you would be a very busy camper? When you stop to think, you know what, brothers and sisters? If I stop to think about what I did last week, I'm going to have a long time. How many be a long time too? If you only spent 1 year in going past all the things you did, think of a lifetime. But we can go to a holy God and ask for forgiveness when? Anytime. So guess what? If I went to him today and said, Father, forgive me of my sins, what happens to my sins? Whoop! As long as I have Jesus Christ in my life, right? And what does he do with all the forgiven sins? Puts them in a basket, carries around with him to beat me up with them later? He throws them in the lake of what? Forgetfulness. You know what? If I was facing my own mortality today, I don't have to spend a lot of time asking God to forgive me. You know why? He already has. How many say the same thing? He already has. And so, the first reason why we go to God is for forgiveness. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Anybody ever get anxious? Who gets anxious in this room? Ooh. I mean, who gets so anxious you could write a book on it? Now, I know something about this thing called anxiety. I know something about this. You know, we pastors are very cautious about saying we understand how you feel, especially if what? We don't know how you feel. Makes sense. But when it comes to anxiety, I know something about that. When it comes to depression, unfortunately, I know something about that too. How many know I know about that? I do know about that. Paul, I know about that, right? Pastor Ed, we've talked. You know, 2 years ago, coming up next December, my brother had passed away of pancreatic cancer, and my son was killed by a drunk driver, and my dad had died. That's back to back to back, right? Back to back to back. And they told me, for those who don't know this, who told me that when I was going through some anxiety, I probably have my brother's cancer, which was genetic. And so that led to health anxiety. Anybody ever worried about your health? Anybody ever get a skippy beat, a heartbeat skip? Who gets those? Okay. Just to make me feel good, who does this? Come on, who does that? Okay, good. All you to do that, stand up so I can see you. Who does? You know, you get that. Boom, boom, you go. Oh! Or you do this. Yeah, come on, Eric. So you know that, right? Yeah, you know that. What I want to tell you, you know, last year at this time, you didn't see me too much. Did you? And when you saw me, I was probably sitting back in the back. I was depressed. I was having anxiety attacks. I had all that. I was taking my medication, right? That's where I was stuck. I was stuck in that. It don't seem like I'm stuck there anymore, does it? Mm-mm. God took it all away. Fact is, I'm happy to report that I'm on my third week of getting rid of that medication now. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. It's going to be gone. Pastor Ed said it'll go, right? Guess what, Pastor Ed? So I'm on my third week of getting rid of all that medication. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not sick. Don't anybody walk out of here and say, Pastor Tom said take the medication. I didn't say that. You recorded that, right? For all of you listening on the internet, take your medicine. Take it. Do not throw it away. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is get some additional help. And I want to let you know the best counseling I got for anxiety and depression went like this. Like this. And guess how fast that goes away? It starts to go. I'm here talking to you, right? And the problem with that is I'm feeling more energetic than I ever have. Watch out, I'm ready to go now. For our visitors, I apologize in advance. No, I don't really. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, be anxious for what? And some of you raised your hand about anxiety, didn't you? Who gets anxious from time to time? Well, see, if you're following God's word, it says get anxious for nothing, so you're worried about nothing. Right? Did you get that, sure? Be anxious about what? Nothing. So I'm anxious about what, Sandy? Nothing. So why be anxious then? Why waste the time? Who here is so good you can write a book on anxiety and worry? Who can write a book on worry? Like, really know how to worry really well. Who can write a book? Eric? Michael, who can write a book on worry? How, you know, 10 ways to really worry well. Okay, who can follow it up with a second book, all the things I've accomplished by worrying? Eric? You could.
Oh, yeah.
How would you accomplish by worrying? How many chapters are in there?
None.
None, right. So we pray to God for forgiveness, and we pray to the Lord for peace. Who needs a little peace in your life? A little calmness. Just some, Lord, some just general old calm lake kind of day, right? Just some calmness, right? Just some calmness. Well, you can have it. You can have it. You want to know one of the ways I prayed for anxiety when I was suffering from anxiety attacks? This is what I finally did. I sat in my chair at my office at my house. And I sat in my chair like this and I said, okay, this is the way this is going to work. I can't do this anymore. Lord, if I'm coming home, I'm coming home. So I turned all the lights off and I said to myself, bring it on, load me up with it, I ain't moving. Just give it to me all, Jimmy. Load me up. Come on. Give it to me all. Get it done. Get it done. I'm not moving. Go ahead. Load me up. And guess what happened? Nothing. Not one single thing. Nothing. Nothing. So I tried it again. Oh, come on now. Come on, Tom. I know you can be anxious, so bring it on. Make me be anxious. Because I ain't moving. And guess what happened, Karen? Nothing. Don't you tell me it can't be done. Oh, it can be done. Because not one single person dies from anxiety. No, not one. Not one. And you are not who you feel you are. You belong to the Lord and you are His. And whatever you think you are, you're not. You are His. How many know that's true? And I'll tell you something else. Your mind has got a mind of its own. And you cannot control your thoughts. Your thoughts will be, if I tell you don't think about a big German shepherd dog with rabies coming in the door, you're going to think about him all day long. So you can't stop thinking about him, right? So therefore, if that makes sense, don't think about the Lord. No, I don't want you thinking about Jesus. Don't you? I thought so too, huh? Come on now, don't be thinking about Jesus, Amy. Don't you think about Jesus who crucified and died on a cross for your sin. Don't be thinking about that one who gave his life up for you. Don't think about Jesus who said you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Becca, don't think about him. You're not thinking about him, are you? It works the same way. What you put in, you get out. Forgiveness, peace, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and through 16.
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
Woo! Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Now, I know for positively sure that my beautiful wife, Sissy, is going to Zumba. And I know that she's a Zumba person now, but she's really getting toned. That's cool. I like that. I could join a YMCA around here somewhere. It's probably a YMCA, right? Up the street YMCA. And I could get on them machines and I could pump up. I don't want to get more pump. My coat won't fit if I get too much. Come on, Ed. If my hair was a little longer, I'd be like Fabio, right? And the truth of the matter is, that's not going to make me strong. Because the battles I have to fight, I don't have to lift with my legs, I have to lift with my spirit. How many know that's true? Most of my battles I'm fighting, it's not going to take strong these, it's going to take strong this. And strong this. Every battle I have to face tomorrow, when I go back to doing what I'm doing, I do not have to be able to lift 500 pounds over my head. I got to be able to get on my knees and get back up. And it says in Scripture to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit within the person. How many of you got battles, inner battles? Don't you got them? How many got inner battles between the ears? Don't we? One of the greatest motivational speakers of our time, Zig Ziglar, said that he is convinced that hardening of the attitude is the worst disease a man can get. And hardening of the attitudes is the most dreaded disease a woman can get. And you know what causes that, according to him? Stinking thinking. Stinking thinking will cause a hardening of the attitudes. And when you get a hardening of the attitude, you need a checkup from your neck up. And so many of us are going to all kinds of doctors to be checked out. And every time we go there, someone says, but there's nothing wrong with you. How many hate when they say that? How many of you, when you go to see a doctor and they say, there's nothing wrong with you, you've got to find somebody smarter than him because you know he's wrong. Right? Sometimes. Now, when we get sick, we ought to go. And we should be checked out. But when the bottom line comes, they say, you know what? I can't find anything wrong with you. We need to do a self-checkup. And we need to say to ourselves, well, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm stressed. Maybe I'm anxious. Maybe I'm worked too hard. Those things are possible, right? That is possible. And God says, if you come to me in prayer, I will strengthen the inner man. Healing does not come from the outside in. It doesn't work that way. It works from the inside out. How many agree with that statement? Healing starts on the inner man, the inner woman, and works its way to the out. I'm going to test my theory. I didn't plan this with Sue and Lori. I didn't talk to them ahead of time. So Sue and Lori, you guys work with people that have disabilities, right? All kinds of disabilities, right? And all things being equal, Sue and Lori, who are my wonderful PT friends, all things being equal, the same injury, the same physical deficit, whatever, all things being equal, if a person comes in and their attitude is perfect and right and strong and good versus a person who is not, which person will get better faster? The lab, right? That true? Exercises are the same. Everything's the same. The person who comes in with a better attitude will get better sooner. Is that a fair, true statement? What's the deal with that? How many believe that too? So where is the problem? It's up here, right? It's up here. I know a person who is a wonderful musician. His name is Lou Schreiber. Anybody know Lou Schreiber? Great musician. For those of you who know him, don't say anything. Lou Schreiber plays piano unbelievably. One time I was playing, he was playing with me in a concert. I think Pastor Colin might have been there. I'm not sure. And I had a pager on my belt like this. And I'm playing and singing, and I hear my pager going off. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I go, oh my gosh, I couldn't turn it off. I hit it with my fist to turn it off, right? And I'm playing, it goes off again. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I go, what the heck? It's still going off. I looked at it, it's turned off. I look behind me, Lou's going. Because he had heard the pitch of my pager, and he could play it on the piano. He made, yeah, yeah. He's playing me. He's playing me. I looked at him, what are you? He also has perfect pitch. He plays the clarinet, the saxophone, the flute. Oh, by the way, he's totally blind. Since birth. And he tunes pianos for a living. Totally and absolutely, unequivocally, what? Blind. Since birth. He plays in a band called Five Guys Named Mo. Travel all around the country. He's one of them. And his attitude is like this. I have lunch with him sometimes. The son of a gun makes me buy him surf and turf. I am not kidding you. Hey, Pastor Tom, let's go to lunch. Where are we going to go? You know what I want, surf and turf. Oh! So I pick him up, and we go have surf and turf. Isn't that crazy? Oh, by the way, that's McDonald's. What that means is a burger and a fish sandwich together. He walks in and the people know, oh, Lou, you want the surf and turf? Yeah, give me the surf and turf. And that's a quarter pounder, right? Quarter pounder with a fillet of fish in between the beat and the body. That's a surf and turf. That's a Lou Schreiber surf and turf. You go down McDonald's on the High River Boulevard, ask for a surf and turf. That's what you're going to get. And his attitude is where? Here or here? What's your deal? What again is your problemo? What we need to do is make sure that as best as we can, we go to the Lord in prayer to strengthen the inner man. Because you know what? You're going to have problems tomorrow when you walk out this door. How many know problems are on the way? Oh, you know what? It's got a truckload with your name on it. Everybody in this world's got problems. How many's got problems? Everybody has them. That doesn't make you special. Does that make you special? Like that song, nobody knows the trouble. That doesn't make you special. Everybody's got them. What makes you special is not that you got them, it's what do you do when you got them. You see, what happens, brothers and sisters, is we focus too much on our problem, and we need to focus on the solution. Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on the solution. Because you know what? How many of you know how to throw a pity party? Who knows how to throw a pity party in this room? Just two people? Who knows how to throw a pity party? Come on. So see, now I had to beg you. How many really can throw a good one? How many of you got self-addressed envelopes with your name on it? Come on now. Who has, Sue? Who has self-addressed envelopes to your pity party? Make sure you send one to yourself, okay? But I want to make sure that you all do me a favor. Do not, under any circumstance whatsoever, send one to me, because I ain't coming. I do not want to come to your pity party. So take me off of your list. I ain't coming. Now, you want to have a let's go to work party? Call me on the phone. I'm going to be there. You want to call me on the phone and say, let's get prayed up? Call me on the phone. I'm coming. You want to get somebody to help you with your problem? Give me a call. I'll spend all day. But do not, under any circumstances, call me to your pity party because I don't want to hear it. Is that fair? How many of you don't want to invite to anybody else's pity party either? There you go. How many will be invited to a let's get to work party? Who wants to get invited to a let's go beat Satan up a while? Right? That's what we want to do. We want to be strengthened by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything, but I see the clock. I know Bob Becker is going to go like this pretty soon to me, right? That's true. I'm not in a Methodist church. That's true. But I am one that tells us to be out of here by 12. So, prayer. What can you do with prayer? Forgiveness. Go to God and ask for forgiveness. How many know He's quick to forgive? Go to God for forgiveness. Go to God for peace. And go to God for strength. Do you have to wait until next Sunday to do that? No, you don't. Next week, we're going to talk about how do you pray. What kind of prayer is effective? What kind of prayer that will He hear? There are some prayers He will not hear. What is the best way to pray? We're going to talk about that next week. But let's pray now. Father God, we thank You so much for the hearing of these words. I ask You, Father, please, to bless all my brothers and sisters in here today, Lord. Whatever it is that's healing them or hurting them, whatever it is, Lord, anxiety, stress, worry, depression, ill health, financial concerns, whatever it is, God, I ask You, please, to touch them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet with Holy Ghost power. Let them know, Lord, that You have been waiting for them to come to You. For we do not receive because we do not ask. Oh, Father, please, touch everybody in this room today, especially our visitors today, Lord, that I may never see again. I ask You, Lord, to touch them in such a powerful way that they may never come into this building again, but You will never leave them. So, Father God, be with them, anoint them with the peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings. And all of God's children said, Amen.